down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnell. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show. This is Mark Susnell, and every week, as you know, I invite people that I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people who can empower us, kind of inspire us to kind of think in a different way, a new way. And throughout the years, I've always have been intrigued by storytellers. I love storytellers. And a lot of us do, and there's a reason for that, is that it kind of taps into this primordial thing inside of us that kind of connects with something deep inside of us, an archetype. And I've had other storytellers on the show. I had Michael Mead about a year ago. And then I heard about Leia Lamb, who has an amazing background. And she's a master storyteller. She's written for Fast Company, for Spirituality Health Magazine, Natural Geographic. She loves nature. She writes for the Huffington Post, and she's really into protecting the environment. She has a novel coming out, and I think you're going to find her fascinating. And what she does is she weaves myths, archetypes, and the hero's journey into our modern world, into the challenges that we all have today. So without me saying any more, welcome Leia Lamb to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for that very generous introduction.
Well, it's deserved. It deserved it. I think I mentioned off the air that I, you know, read your whole about Leia on your website, and it's very the different things that you've done, setting theater and your love for the wilderness and all these different things are, I'm sure, contribute to who you are today So tell me, what is, in simple terms, what is storytelling?
I love how you're saying, you know, you have this affinity for storytellers, you know, in your introduction, and I think we're all storytellers. You know, there's that great animal that, you know, we're humans, we're storytelling animals, and I think there's so many different ways to look at a story. We could speak about it in two different ways, you know, I mean, well, in many different ways. That's the beauty of it. But for simplicity, you know, we could say, hey, a story is an operating system. It's one in which we understand values, belief systems. It's one that we share information. But it's also an incredibly unique mechanism to access knowledge. And the knowledge that lives in stories is rather complex in the sense that it is we receive as much knowledge from a story as we're ready for. And we can go back to the same story a week later, a month later, 4 years later, hear the exact same words and receive another level of information or knowledge or wisdom. And it was always there in the story. It's just a matter of where we are in our own awareness. So stories are really magical that way. But I also think of stories as living beings, to be quite honest. I think of them as living entities that we can come into relationship with. And I think that we're living in very complicated times, you know, where we have extraordinary stories. And when you come into a relationship with a story, it can give you gifts. It can give you insight. It can give you information. It can give you a whole new way of meeting the world that you're living in or tough situations when you come into relationship with the story itself. And I also think that there's zombie stories around us. There's stories that are not here to serve our best interests. And I think that, you know, one of the hardest things of our time is how do we become so astute as to not only understanding that we're living in a world surrounded by and sometimes run by stories, consciously and unconsciously, And then when we become more aware of them, we're like, oh, is this story out for my best interest? Or is this a zombie story not here for my interest?
Mm-hmm.
What are your favorite stories?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I can't think of any offhand, but I remember years ago, I used to be a lawyer, and I was a trial lawyer, and there was the local bar association had a speaker and said, come hear the storyteller about how to introduce
mm-hmm.
storytelling into your trial practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and to the story, and then he had a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the workshop, and there's about six or eight people there from, it was in the city, San Francisco. And I bought a couple of his cassettes that I used to play for my kids. And I used to play them a lot. I can't remember them offhand, but it just moved me. And then when I was working on my first book, Dancing on the River, I was thinking about integrating photography into the book, and I went to the bookstore and I saw his book, and he wrote a book called The Beggar King and The Secret of Happiness. His name, I bet you know, I don't know if you know him, Joel Ben-Izzy. Does that name ring a bell?
Joel Ben-Izzy.
Yeah,
I wish
Ben-Izzy.
You could laugh with me right now because his book is in my hand right now.
Oh my God.
He's a dear friend, and he's actually he was a guest teacher. We actually did a storytelling event together last year, and
oh my
storyteller
God.
He
you
is.
Know, it's interesting. I was thinking, this is like a lesson really that for all of us, I think, is that, you know, I was thinking of sharing that story when you were talking, and I think, well, I don't want to mention another storyteller because this is for Leah. This is her thing. And for something told me to go ahead and share that information. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that there's something that we could speak to in that moment. There's something that happens. People think that stories come from the storytellers. And it's just not true. And this is a really strange, wild kind of magic that happens. So when you have two people like we are just were focused on listening deeply to each other, our listening is actually what calls out the story in the other. And a little piece of science that we can speak to is that, and this is why also this is a lost art in our time. You know, you were talking about how good it feels to go and just be with a storyteller because it's one of the few times in our lives when we get to drop into
you're,
this
you're fading
place
a little
in our
bit
lives.
In and out. So, Leah, just so you know.
Oh,
yeah.
I'll just keep talking and. Hopefully the cell phone wires will keep picking it up and we'll go.
the story of the cell phone wire, right? We got a story.
The story of the cell phone. The story of can you hear me now? You know, which is sort of what storytellers are dealing with. Storytellers, what we're dealing with is that we've lost this relationship between speaking and listening. And what I was just saying is that in our deep listening is where the stories are called out. And so I've seen this happening. And as we were just talking before about the living story, and that when we're allowing the divine to flow through us, and divine to flow through the story can sometimes shift and transform, not the meaning, not the wisdom, not the potency, but sometimes a little specifics based on who's in the audience and how they're listening, because it's their listening that calls out the story. It's some of the most beautiful magic. What I call magic, Stanford calls neurocoupling. And as I create an image in my mind, if I were to take you to the bottom of the ocean and tell you about this incredibly beautiful, large apple tree that exists at the bottom of the ocean that sends off little blossoms of glowing white light, that part of my brain lit up in the exact same place in your brain. And so what we did together was we co-created reality. It's kind of epic when you start thinking about it. This capacity to co-create together. And it's based in that kind of deep listening. And I think it's one of the things that we have lost our connection to, or even understanding our power as listeners. because it's in our listening that stories come alive. So now you start thinking about all the things that are happening in our world, and you start understanding that it's in our listening that we're co-creating these realities together. And just to take it one step further, because it's like I kind of want to, since we're down this train, is to illustrate this point that all the ancient religions believed that the world was sung, spoken, or chanted into existence. I'm just going to say that again because it's really kind of mind-blowing. But all the ancient religions believe that the world was sung, spoken, or chanted into existence.
Sung,
this is how powerful our language is.
Or enchanted into existence.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. So when we, as humans, are being like, why am I here? Why am I here? And this is a deep inquiry that people have. So when we have this much of a question, then, well, that question's here for a reason. You know, and I would reckon that perhaps part of it is around that we've lost our you know, whatever the word is, connection, remembrance of knowing that our one of the things that we do on this planet is we do speak out loud. You know, I think of the plane, like Charles Lindbergh, you know, he imagined a plane, right? And he called that imagination in through his psyche, and then he put it out through his mouth. And he spoke it out loud, right? And then other people had to agree with him. They listened to the resonance, and they were like, yeah, I can get on board with this crazy idea. You know, and some people couldn't. But enough did that they were able
right.
to build it into – this is like this is an extraordinary thing that people can do together. Yeah.
So I have a thought. And what I was thinking was, wouldn't it be great if you could tell us a story about what's happening today? Maybe one that needs to be made up. Is there like an archetype or a metaphor or a story that comes to your mind that could really capture what's happening today in today's world? Because you talked a lot about today's world, challenging times, and I'm just wondering if there is a story, because as we know in the Old Testament and a lot of scripture, it's all about stories, which are metaphors. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if you could think of something or make something up about the story of today, of today's world.
Not to put me on the spot or anything.
That's what I said. I got a challenge for you. I said, no, I'm not going to say a challenge. I said, I have an idea, a thought. I kind of broke it down a little bit. I'm calling it a thought rather than a challenge.
I think that there's an old rule that, you know, if a storyteller is asked to tell, then you tell. But you don't always tell unless you're asked. I will confess to you and your community that I have not told a story in a while. So we're going to see what's going to happen. And so
I also like play songs.
I'll keep it short.
I played piano and I sang. And sometimes when I haven't done a song for a while, it's a little rusty, but it comes back quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know what I like to do in these moments is I invoke the storyteller's prayer. And the storyteller's prayer, came to me, which is that may all the words that need to be heard be spoken. May all the words that need to be heard be spoken. And that's for you. That's for your audience. That's like whatever you need to hear in your life, whatever you need to hear that will wake you to the things that you need to tend to, may those words be spoken. And may all the words that need to be spoken be heard. May all the words that need to be spoken be heard. And that to me, that's to the muse. That's the ancestors. That's to the divine spirit of the story. That what it needs to speak, may those words come through me in such a way that they can be heard. And so we'll try this story and see what happens. So
okay.
once upon a time, which is such a funny term. What are we agreeing upon when we say that? Once upon a time.
I know.
We won't stop there, but we'll keep going. Once upon a time, there was this extraordinary planet. She had great, great gifts to give, extraordinary gifts. And one of her gifts that this great being gave was the gift of generosity. It was literally to teach about the gift of giving, the gift of love, And they say that this earth, this wisdom keeper, sorry, this planet, that she goes by the name of Earth. And Earth was a wild and emotional being. She was not one to sit by quietly. She was known to be a bit stormy. There were moments that she was known to become anorexic. They say that there were moments when her heart froze over and she refused to engage with anyone or anything. But they also say that there were these very, very unique relationships that she had with the beings that lived among her. And these beings, they had this extraordinary responsibility. It was perhaps one of the greatest weights in the universe. Because her mission, her charge was so big and so relevant to not just herself, but to the entire constellation for which she was a part of, for the entire universe for which she was a part of, for all the other universes for which her universe touched, that without her capacity to bring the love from which she was here to teach, without her capacity to give the gifts that she was here to give, the entire universe would be devoid of them. In order for these to go out into the universe, as responsible, they say, to the people, to the humans. For they were the ones that could speak her wisdom, her truth, her guidance, her knowing out loud. They say that she sang through them, that she storied through them, that she chanted through them, and it was through them that her voice was carried out into the universe. They say that there was a great forgetting. And if we went into that story, we'd be here for much longer than your show, so we won't go there. But we will say that at this point in the story, we're in the middle of the great remembering, when people from around the globe are gathering together to remember who they are and what their relationship is, not only to this great planet Earth from which they get to gather and meet on, but also their place in the universe. Mm. And that is our story for today.
Wow. Fantastic. I love it. Yeah. So what do you think we need to remember right now? What do you think we mankind or us humans as beings, what do you think we need to remember right now?
Well, I think that we're all remembering different pieces, and I think it's not so much about what do we. Like, I can speak to what is mine to start, you know, being with,
mm-hmm.
but I think
mm-hmm.
the more exciting piece is to say, oh, you know, how do we as a people come back into relationship to that deep, deep listening so that we can hear what's wanting to be spoken to the time? You know, what mm-hmm. is the earth trying to say out loud? And, you know, it might not be what we think. You know,
right.
It's like we've made up a story that the earth is distraught, that she's the great mother, and that we're abusing and harassing her, and that could be absolutely true. You know, I'm not saying that isn't true. There's definitely
right.
an absolute out of balance. But what if we look even bigger at it? You know, maybe Earth wanted us to do some of this stuff. You know,
uh-huh.
like
right.
maybe it's like I'm not going to speak to some of the things because they're so perverse. What if we
uh-huh.
could invoke the wildest imagination about if we are doing the Earth's bidding and the Earth's will, you know, perhaps she wants to give us her gems. You know, she's like, here, have my gems. Please
uh-huh.
take this and use this gift. But I think what's happened is that we've lost our relationship with it, the reciprocity. You know, so I think we're out of relationship to the great gift that this planet has to offer and is regenerative, and it gives and it gives and it gives. And somewhere in there, we forgot how to give back. And so if there is a we to your question, and I'm very careful, Stephen Jenkinson is someone who I've gotten to learn a lot from, and he's always like, there's no speaking for the we, you can't speak for other people. And I really want to respect that. But if there is
you
something
don't think,
that I can say that.
You don't think there's like a we, like a collective consciousness?
Sure. Yes. And, yes. And, but, it's like, I think that there's a habit that people can get into, the world's messed up. No, there are so many amazing things happening on this planet every single day. There are some places in the planet that are really out of balance. That feels accurate. So it's like these little things that we say completely shape our form of reality. We're going to run out of food in the ocean by 2050. That's quite a statement. And the problem with that is that it's a story that has a beginning, middle, and end, and there's no place for me inside of that story. This is where the climate change movement has gone wrong. And I say that as someone that's been part of this messaging creature. And so when you make such declarations.
Okay, Leia, say that again
now.
Again, where the climate change movement has gone wrong. I think that's very profound, and I want you to say it again.
Well, I think in a situation like this, when we're saying this is what's going to happen in 2050, that the oceans are going to empty, okay, that story has a beginning, middle, and end, and that story breaks the structure of how our brains work. You know what a story is? That's like news and information, and we're not actually designed to metabolize news and information. We as humans are designed to metabolize story. One of the key amazing things that every great story has that keeps you so engaged and awake up at night is the and then what? And then what's going to happen? Right? And the climate change movement is missing the key part of the story. And then what's going to happen? Because they wanted to raise the alarms and make sure that everybody knew what happened. So one way that
so
we can speak
up,
to this
yeah.
is say, yeah.
Yeah, let me just bring
is,
back down. So what
yeah.
I hear you saying is that when we have like a finite ending, like I remember years ago was one of them was with a new millennium, with the year world was going to come. One story was the world's going to come to an end in the year 2000. The other one was we were going to enter the age of Aquarius. And there are two choices. But what I hear you're saying is that if you take one like the world's going to end, that's a finite story, where as opposed to a story that's never ending, that's constantly changing and evolving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Paradigm are you living in? So in the where the oceans.
Yeah, keep talking.
Sorry, that's me hitting that.
When
that ends in 2050, then there's no place. Then I might as well get my mind now because it's done, right? But if we tell this in a slightly different way, based on current projections on how humans have been developing at the pace and rate that we are, all signs indicate that there's a possibility that the fish, that we could wipe out our fish population. But there's something else that we need to tell that's part of the bigger story. That's just one chapter of the story. The other part of the story that's also happening is that there are over like 200,000 organizations around the planet that have organized to take a stand for sustainability. And that these organizations are at rapid pacing, developing new technologies, new ideas, and new ways sustainable way on the planet. Now let's look at the projections of what happens when they succeed. And what can you do to be part of those actions? Now all of a sudden there's a place for me in the story. And then what's going to happen? Are we going to bring the sharks back? Gosh, I hope we do. Look at all the whales that we've been protecting. So it's like there are, there was just another animal taken off the endangered species list yesterday. Like, why isn't that front page news? That's huge. So it's like we live in a wondrous world that's going through one of the most extraordinary times. And aren't we lucky to be here now to tell the story? And I feel like that's one of the most magical, I don't want to overuse the word magical, but like, what a powerful time to be on the planet right now. Because we do know that the only thing that is that, you know, the only guarantee is impermanence. And this is going to go. And the house that I'm, you know, that I'm in right now, it's going to fall to the ground. And, you know, the cars are going to rust and the buildings will eventually break. But the stories, you know, we have stories among us that are over fourth. And what would
to
it
the
be
fourth what?
To... There are stories among us that are over 4,000 years old. And so what would it be if we could... all the wisdom, the insight for what it is to live through these times into a story
right.
another time, to serve another another time. And I feel like that's our invitation right now.
So to say that again, because you were breaking up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're living, so the invitation is to all of us, because that's what I wanted to get into is to, in terms of what gives you hope. That's usually what I ask all the people that I interview, all my guests, and to address what gives you hope. And I think you were starting to get into that by saying what the invitation that we all have today is. So could you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, what gives me hope is I see so many people around me who are answering the call to our times, who are really saying, how can I get involved? How can I make a difference? How can I use my life force in a positive way on this planet that serves the next generation and the next generation? And I think, you know, there's more and more people that are doing the deep listening. What's my spoke in the wheel? And I feel like that's it. We all have a different spoke in the wheel. And if we have this opportunity to go into that deep, deep, deep listening, you know, and I listen in the forest or in the ocean or to the earth, and I feel like that's where we find our place, the thing that wants to be spoken through us, through our unique channel on the planet. And the more that we do that, I feel like the more aligned and together we come into this, the power of when we unify and focus our efforts on good, positive things of the world that we most want to see, when we keep telling the stories of the world, what's your vision for the world that you most want to see? Let's focus our time and attention into building that. And I see a lot of people doing that around me. And so that definitely gives me hope.
Yes, to kind of have a vision, to focus on the vision rather than the problems almost. I remember
to have a
one
vision
time
or to align with people who have visions.
Yes. I once wrote a line in a poem, and I said that I wrote, like, should there be a day when the visionaries of peace, right, stop loving, then the prophets of doom will have their day of gloom. And I think that's really those two forces that are always at each other, the good and, you know, coming back to basic good and evil in terms of having a positive vision of what's possible to inspire, as I always say, possibility of what's possible. And I think that storytellers give us an idea of again, back to this hero journey of how inside of us we're all heroes, and to focus on that rather than the darkness. And I guess we all have to go through darkness, but to not forget about the light and all the good that you're talking about today, especially in the climate movement, all these organizations that are out there, that if there wasn't this fear, they wouldn't be motivated. So we're kind of wrapping up here, and what are you grateful right now for?
Well, I'm always grateful for an opportunity to talk story and talk about story, so thank you so much for having me onto your show. I'll tell you, during our talk, I've had a flock of jays land in my front yard and have gathered around this water fountain that has water in it and food, and I have to say, I've been grateful for their added companionship, company, and they're a spunky lot, those jays. So nice to see them.
Why don't you tell us how we can get a hold of you? And I know we have another minute and a half to go. So tell us how we can get a hold of you and about your. And I know you have an online course people can take.
I do. We just started. It's called Speak the Spark. You can go to speakthespark.com. And it's called Sacred Storytelling for a New Paradigm. And you mentioned Michael Mead, and you mentioned Joel Ben-Izzi. And Michael Mead is actually our next guest speaker on October 2nd. And Joel is actually one of our guest speakers from last year. And it's a course that features 10 master teachers from that really hold 10 different spokes in the wheel of sacred storytelling, from Hawaiians, from Lakota, Charles Eisenstein, a lot of different perspectives. And then I also bring magic and medicine, where people can become really aware of the stories that they tell, how to tell them, and then how to stand in their unique medicine and give it to the world through every story that they tell.
And quickly tell people, you're just go to your website, leahlamb.com.
You can go to leahlamb.com, or you can go to speakthespark.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also do a special form of sacred storytelling called Soul Stories, and that's at medicinestories.com. I've got too many websites. It's a problem. I've got a .com problem.
Right, I know. Yeah, websites, huh? Well, listen, Leah, thanks
mm-hmm.
for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. Until all of you out there, as you know, every week we have amazing people that bless us, join us, inspire us, and until the meantime, journey on.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.